So tonight we're going to be looking at counting the cost. This is the last study when a person is fully decided they want to do it. And you've heard some people sharing about they want to get baptized in the sharing tonight, and I've heard it. But we want people to sit down. Jesus taught this. Before you make your decision, He doesn't want people to be emotional. It's very emotional to say, you know, I really want to get my life right with God. I really want to be right with God. And you're fired up. You're excited. But then what happens when the challenges come? You look back and you say, well, I was just excited. I didn't know what I was getting into. And so the reason we do these Bible studies is we want people to know exactly what they're getting into beforehand, so that when they take that step of faith into the waters of baptism and they turn themselves over to Jesus to let Him drive, to be their Lord and Savior, we want them to know. This study has helped me so many times as a disciple, because I go back to it when I face a challenge. When my faith is gripped and I'm seeing the Christian life is not easy, it's hard, it's painful. I go back here and I go, remember what you decided. It was not an emotional decision. It wasn't a decision that was based on feeling, a high or a low. So I got to maintain that even devotion to faith. So let's begin. You're not quite sure if this guy is thinking or if he's got a headache. But the idea is that he's thinking. Okay, he's thinking hard about this decision. And we want everybody, before they get baptized, to think long and hard. This is the biggest decision anyone will ever make in their life. Bigger than getting married, bigger than deciding what school or what career you're going to go after. Because this decision has eternal ramifications. It will determine where you spend eternity, this decision. That's why it's so big. And it affects everything else in your life. So let's go ahead and begin. You've got your notes there in your hand. It's two-sided. We're going to blaze through a lot. This is a lot of information. Most of this information you want to hand to the person so they can go over it and chew on it the days before they get baptized. Or at least, at very least, 24 hours to go through this. A lot of it's revision, to go over the things that they've already studied out. But it's a revision. And it doesn't have a lot of scriptures because it's past material. The scriptures are already covered in the past studies. Let's go to God in prayer. We're going to begin. Pray with me. Our Father God, we are thankful that we can study Your Word. We pray that Your Word will fall on fertile ground and will produce much fruit. Help us, God, in this room to redevote ourselves to the decision that we make. No matter where we are, we need this, God. We need to re-devote ourselves and re-up the commitment and the love and the handing over of our lives to You for the rest of our time here on earth. We love You, God. We're thankful for the privilege. Be with us. Fill me with Your Spirit. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to give you a freebie. I always like to give freebies. Turn to John chapter 16. Okay? You can write this on the top. This is just for you. Why did Jesus count the cost with His disciples? John chapter 16 and verse 33. Jesus gave people a lot of advance notice about what He was going to do and what His movement was about, what His purpose and His plan was all about. He went in advance. He shared things in advance so that when the time came, they would go, ah, I remember. I remember what Jesus said. And now it applies. Look what He says here in chapter 16, verse 33. I have told you these things so that in Me you will have peace. Amen? What do we want? I want peace. You want war? You don't want war. You want peace. You want conflict? You want trouble? No, you want peace. All of us want peace. Jesus said these things. This study is to give people peace. And look what else He says, finishing up. He says, in this world you will have what?
Trouble.
Other translations?
Problems.
Struggles. Difficulties. Challenges. Ask the people in Japan. How do you face this kind of crisis? Jesus doesn't guarantee us being disciples that you're going to have a carefree life and you won't have challenges. You will go through challenges. In this world, you will have trouble. Guarantee it. Paul went back through the churches in the book of Acts. I believe it's Acts 14. He went back through and visited those mission churches. And he gave them a charge. He said, guys, I want you to know, if you follow Christ, you will be persecuted. He warned them. He let them know, as baby Christians, it's going to get tough. Now, we don't need to approach life with fear or with nervousness, but we need to be sober. We need to realize we're going to have trouble at times. And what is the tool, what is the thing that we need the most when we face trouble? Faith. Right on, Ted. What will carry you through? What do people in Japan not have right now to get them through the difficulties? Some may, but very few have faith. That's why they're completely crushed or devastated. They don't know how to process something like this. Because their whole world is here on earth. Their whole life was swept out to sea. They have nothing else. There is nothing else. That was it. But a man and a woman of faith understands, yes, it hurts. But my life is not made up of my home, my car, and even maybe some of my loved ones. I have a stronger foundation. And I know my time here is temporary. Right now in our society, there's a plague. It's a very serious plague, and it's getting worse. Those that suffer from cancer is deadly. It's among us. Many of us have suffered from it. And people are gripped with fear when they hear, you have been diagnosed, he has been diagnosed with cancer. And you're like, oh my goodness, that means you could die. If you have faith, you go, okay, this is hard, but I'm going to be ready. Because my whole life, I have spent my whole life preparing for that day to cross over to the other side. Look what Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. In other words, have faith. I have overcome this world. I have overcome the tsunamis. I have overcome the earthquakes. I have overcome the cancers. I have overcome the cruelest, worst possible treatment this world can dish out. I've overcome it. And I've showed you how to be victorious. I've crossed over. And that's what he's saying. Jesus came here on earth to give us faith and to encourage us. So this is what we do. This study is essentially in two verses or one verse. It's a study to let you know about the future. So let's begin our study. Faith principles. And I got this video, but I'm going to skip it because it just talks about drive-through Christianity. If you went through it last year, it's funny, but we need to get down to business. You can watch it another time. Maybe we'll put it up on the website and you can watch it there. It's kind of a funny, stupid video about American church. It's a drive-through. I want this, I want that. Let's keep moving. Luke chapter 14, Jesus said, it's not on your notes, another freebie. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower, will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays a foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. This is the counting of the cost. Jesus reinforced it. There were thousands, there were throngs of people following Jesus. And he said, just a minute. I don't want the multitudes. I just want people that have sat down and thought this through. This is serious. And you, if you start this, you have to finish it. This is not an emotional thing that you do in your college years or because you want to have a better life or self-improvement program like the Crown Financial. It's going to help. It's a 10-week program. Christianity is a whole nother thing. It is a lifelong thing. It's like marriage and bigger. I'm in this to the last day. And that's what Jesus wanted. And that's what he's talking about here. And then we look at this example. This is a primary example, and I share this with people that I'm studying with. I share this. These are three individuals that are in the position that you are in right now. And I'm studying with the person that's on the verge of getting baptized. There were three people that were in the place that you are in right now. And they were challenged by Jesus to reflect on their decision. of following him. Look what it says in verse 57. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will go follow you wherever you go. Sounds awesome. He sounds like he's ready. He's open. Wouldn't you say he's open? Anywhere, Jesus. I'm going. I'm with you. Look at what Jesus says to him. Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go proclaim the kingdom of God. We're looking at the first two, then the third. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. What is Jesus getting at? Think about your decision. And he's even challenging people and exposing their heart in the middle of their decision. First guy seems like, and he says, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests. And I ask, what are holes and nests to those animals? It's their homes. When you walk in after a long day, maybe tonight when you get home and you walk through that door, what do you feel? You lay your stuff down, that big purse for some of you sisters, it's heavy. I got my purse up here too, and my big knapsack. I lay that thing down, and you know what I feel at home? What do you feel when you get home? I'm home. I love my home. I feel safe in my home. I feel secure in my home, just like the animals do. And Jesus is not saying that he didn't have a place to lay, physical place, because we know he had a home in Nazareth. And we know he stayed at Peter's house with Peter's mother-in-law. He stayed there often. It was kind of his home away from homes. Jesus had a home, but what he's saying with this verse is, this is not my security. This is not my place of security. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a home. It can be a job. It can be a relationship. It can be money. It can be a lot of things. Things that you put security in. Jesus is saying, I don't have a secure place here on earth. My security is in heaven. If you're going to follow me, you need to transfer your security and put it in heaven. Because he's challenging this guy, but he's also doing him a favor. How? Because when we lose things, we lose everything unless we have another place. And then we're safe. You know, you see all these interviews with people after the wildfires here in Southern California, and they always interview them right in front of their burnt-down home. They lost everything. And they put the mic, okay, so how do you feel right now? How you doing? And man, they're just devastated. Oh, I lost everything. And you go, oh, it's just drama. I'm waiting for the day when a disciple gets interviewed. And every now and then you'll see some people with some perspectives. They realize, it's just stuff. I lost a lot of memories. It hurts. But you know what? I can get another house. And my family's okay. And we're okay. And I got God. You know, I've sat down with brothers and sisters in their deathbed. And for them to tell me, the minister, right? It's okay. They're helping me. I'm supposed to go there and help them and read the scriptures and pray together. They can help me. I remember Joventino Narvaez passed away two and a half years ago. Ruben's father. The guy ministered to me. Because his home was in heaven. And this is what Jesus is talking about. There's no safe place here. As I said on Sunday, everybody who's sick who got healed, they died. They died. Our only safe place here on earth is with God in heaven. And that's what we need to realize with this world. When we see the tsunamis, the earthquakes, what were we thinking? That everything's going to be great all the time? Not here. It won't happen. And that's why we need our faith. That's why you're here tonight. We read on. The next guy, you know, Jesus approached him, follow me. And he said, first let the dead go bury their dead. Here Jesus is exposing the man's heart. First thing you see it in red letters, the guy says first. And there's an ulterior motive. In the first century, he wasn't talking about the gentleman necessarily, his father died and he was going to go bury him, because that'd be quick, right? What he's replying is that he had to take care of his dependent father until he died. In other words, his father was retired and dependent, living in his home. There's also another motivation. If he were to leave the house, if he were the oldest son, what would happen to his share of the inheritance? Move your feet, lose your seat. That was the old way of doing things. If he left, he would lose his share. So he had to stay around until his father died, so he could have the inheritance. If he were to walk away, so Jesus was exposing something in this guy's life. He said, I can't go. I got to take care of my dad. And it's biblical what he's saying here. It's Old Testament, one of the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother. Here what Jesus is dealing with is responsibility. And we talk about this. If you are a disciple, you will have other responsibilities, even biblical responsibilities that you need to take care of. If you have a parent that is dependent on you to take care of, it is a biblical responsibility that you take care of that parent, according to the Scriptures. But he was using as a shield, it's either or. No, Jesus is saying it's both and. You can still proclaim the kingdom of God and take care of your father. Or if he had a brother or sister that could do it, and he could leave them in charge, he was free to go. But there was a reason he wanted to stick around. And this is what the commentaries have exposed here in this teaching. But Jesus would never go against something already previously laid down in Scripture. So this isn't a going against one of the Ten Commandments, honor your father and mother. Absolutely not. But really, it's really exposing. And so what I share with people is, when I was in college and got baptized, I had a job, and I was going to school full time. Felt like my life was pretty busy. But when I got baptized, my schedule changed completely. We had Bible talk on Tuesday night, had midweek on Wednesday night. We had Friday, college students, we had Friday devos on Friday night. Then we had church on Sunday, and we, in those days, we had two services on Sunday. We had Sunday school at 8:30 in the morning. And some of you are going, man, I'm glad I didn't get baptized when I was in those days. We had 8:30 Bible study. Then we had Sunday worship at 9:30 after that. Then we go home and we have 6 o'clock Bible study again in the evening. And I was going to school full time and working. Man, my schedule had changed. And a brother in the fellowship, he handed me a gift. He said, here's a schedule book. You're going to need it. And I did. Because my time was now a lot less. I didn't have as much free time. I had to monitor my schedule, because I wanted to be devoted to God. And so what Jesus is talking about here is our responsibilities. First one is securities. Second one is responsibilities. Some of us need help in this room with navigating and balancing our responsibilities. And sometimes you need to say no. There are priorities, spiritual priorities, that are higher than some of the other priorities that are out there. And the world is constantly going to pull at you, and your own flesh is going to pull at you. I'm too tired to go. You know? And I appreciate some of the brothers and sisters here tonight, their devotion, because they're tired. But they realize the importance. I need nourishment. I need spiritual food. And they walk out refreshed in their faith. And I get refreshed when I come here. And midweek. You refresh me. The faith news refresh me. So, but it's going to require better discipline, better organization, better balance. Well, what happens, and this happened to me, what happens when you have a final exam on Thursday and you got Wednesday midweek? Ooh, that was a tough one. And I said, bro, I may have to miss midweek because I got a final tomorrow. You know, the final. It carries like 40% of your total grade for the class is on your final exam. And I remember what a brother told me. He was cold. He was hard. But I needed that. He said, bro, I guess you're going to have to study on Monday and Tuesday so you can be there on Wednesday. Now, I want you guys to know, we're not like that now. But I think in our context now, we go the other extreme. Any and every reason to miss. And guess what happens? And this happens. I got to be sincere tonight. We miss and miss and miss and miss and miss, and our faith gets weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker, and we start to walk around spiritually with a limp. And some of us need a crutch to get around. And then after months and months and months, and maybe a year of that, we're wondering, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And we walk away. And it all started. And Jesus is saying it beforehand. Okay? He's letting you know beforehand. And this goes through it in detail in the study. Beforehand, you need fellowship. You need your times with God on a daily basis. You need this spiritual nourishment.
That's right.
To be faithful to the very end. And then the last one, you see it here. I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family and my friends. My family, I didn't say friends, but that's in there. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. What's Jesus talking about here? He's talking about influences, people, and their power over us. You know, back in this culture, your family and your friends were some of your biggest influences in your life. And when you made a decision of this magnitude, it went against the grain with the family. Because the family in this context was predominantly Jewish. So to follow Jesus was to leave the Jewish faith. So the family was going to pull and say, no, what are you doing? Who is this Jesus? He's a young guy. He's a carpenter from the province. Why are you following him? I know he's a great teacher and he's healed a few people, but do you realize? And the pull and the pull and the pull. Before you get baptized, realize that you are going to be pulled in different directions. I always share this. There's a woman that lived with us in Mexico for a number of years. When she started to study the Bible initially, her father told her, if you go to that church, because it's a Christian church in the Catholic nation, and Catholicism was almost nationalistic. You did not go to Catholic church. And so when we were there, to convert someone to Christianity was like telling them to leave their Muslim faith. It was betrayal of the highest kind. Her father told her when she came home from church, where have you been? She said, well, I've been to church. What church? It's a Christian church. You follow the Bible. Here it is. I got it here with me. And I'm so excited because I'm finally understanding what the Bible says. He said, listen, we're Catholic in this house. If you go again to that church, I'm going to beat you. And so, you know, whoa. Christian home, right? She went to church again because she saw the faith. She saw it's the truth. She saw it was right. She went again. Guess what happened on the following Sunday when she got back? She got beaten. This is a grown woman. She wasn't a teenager. She was a grown woman. Her father beat her. This went on for about a month. Finally, because of her persistence, her father gave up on the situation and said, can't convince her. You know, stop beating her. Thank God. But guess what happened? Her life changed so much. She was a light in her home. Her sisters, she's got two sisters, they saw the light. They started to study the Bible. And they were baptized. And mom and dad were, you know, freaking out a little bit. But then they saw the triple light in their home. And they were convicted. And guess who started to study the Bible? Mom and dad. Guess who stand outside of our services on Wednesday night selling hot tamales after church? Mom and dad. And they're faithful disciples in the church. This woman, this sister of ours, withstood the test and the influence, the pull, the violent pull. And that's what Jesus is saying here. You're going to be pulled. You've got to keep your focus. When people plow fields, the importance of those straight lines determines the crop months later. If you don't draw the straight line of plowing a field, it prohibits the water from running down the line. And so if there's a little bend in the plow line, it means from that bend all the way down, the crop's not going to get water. The farmer loses money, loses crop. Our Christian life is like that. We got to keep our focus. What we're doing tonight has an effect on what we do next month in a year from now. How you're living as a Christian right now will affect what happens to you in your harvest years from now. Our sister in Mexico, what was her harvest? Her whole family. She kept her focus. She said, I'm going to follow Jesus. This is one story. There are so many stories in India, in China, in Russia. There are so many of these stories of brothers and sisters who stood their ground and said, no, I will follow Jesus first. I put my hands to the plow and I'm not turning back. If you're not willing to do that, and I tell the person who I'm studying with, if you're not willing to do that, then don't get baptized. Wait. Sit this one out and make sure you're ready. All right, let's keep moving. You see this whole notes and we're in the first two scriptures. You're like, when's this going to be over? I told you, this is review. You can go over it. It's for the person to go over. Last scripture here on the notes. Oh, is it on there? 2 Peter. Let's open our Bible. 2 Peter, it's right here. 2 Peter chapter 2. I think the rest of them will be brief. 2 Peter, and we're going to close out here. Don't be nervous. Okay? I know you need your rest. 2 Peter chapter 2. We're going to read together here verse 20 through 22. These are sobering words. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and are again entangled in it and overcome, they are worse off in the end than they are at the beginning. It would have been better off for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it, than to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them the proverbs are true, a dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud. What's Peter referring to right here? A sow. Sorry. Thank you, Alan. He's from the farm. He understands. So, what's Peter referring to here? You're better off not becoming a disciple than if to become one and turn away and turn your back. I studied the Bible with a young man in Colombia, and he understood what this meant. Because as a young man, as a teenager, he worked for a drug cartel. There's no exit door with a drug cartel. If you leave, they kill you. He was an exception by God's power. We studied the Bible. His boss came to church. I didn't know it. He sat in the back, probably where Jason is. I didn't even know he was there. This is a murderer. Bloodthirsty murderer sat in the back of the church, and here I am preaching, you know, with fury back in those days, and in Spanish. And he sat back there and listened. He could have killed me in an instant. Your life is worth nothing down there. And he came to the service to see what his young protege was involved in. And we prayed and prayed, and his boss had mercy on him. He was an orphan. Said, I'm going to let him go. Because he trusted. The reason why they kill you is they think that you're going to betray and turn in and be a witness to the governing authorities, and then they'll, you know, report you. He assured his boss, no, I'm doing this for real. I want to follow Jesus. I want to be a servant of God. You mean a priest? He said, no, I just want to be a servant of God. And he got baptized. But he understood the scripture. I'm doing this till the end. Interesting thing was, 2 years later, he died of cancer in his lower abdomen. And so, today we don't understand this verse, but it's very serious. You'll be worse off if you become a disciple and leave the church. This is biblical. This is a very serious decision. We want you to think about it, and we don't want you to take it lightly. It's going to affect the rest of your eternity. We don't want you to do it with a negative or fearful spirit. I was afraid when I got baptized. The reason I was afraid when I got baptized, I was happy, but I was afraid. You know why I was afraid? I never finished anything in my whole life as a 21-year-old. Started a lot of stuff and never finished. I was afraid of it. But you know, I just took that first step and I said, God, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to trust my life. Here it is 26 years later. And here I am by the power of God. And so when people tell me they're a little afraid when they get baptized, I say, that's good. What worries me is when people are like, oh, I'll get baptized and no worries. And no, it's great. It's awesome. And that's okay, but there needs to be a little sobriety. There needs to be a little bit of, you know, like, okay, this is big. Kind of like when you get married. You know, I remember I got married. I was a little nervous, but I was less nervous when I got married than I was when I got baptized. Because I had a lot of track record of being faithful to God. And it affected my marriage. It still affects my marriage today in a positive way. So that is the counting of the cost study. You say, well, what about all these other points and notes? Well, they're right here.
Yeah.
Go through it. Encourage them. It's a review. A lot of great things to talk about. We go over everything. You know, breaking down hearing, breaking down believing, breaking down repentance. What is spiritual change? You got Ephesians 4, 20 through 32 in here. Relationships, the importance of relationships. Possessions, the importance of giving and financially contributing to God's church. Giving a special contribution. How enthusiastic are you about being consistent in your giving to God and His church? How secure are you about discussing with your tithe with financially qualified disciples? In other words, somebody who's been through the program of Crown. That would be somebody qualified. Love disciples on the back side of the sheet you see here. Serving and leading. We want people to use their gifts in the church, not just to be attenders. Loving the lost, helping people around you to help them get saved. And then the last decision is to get baptized. So that is the counting of the cost study. I hit the first two points because they're some of the most important points to hit when somebody's getting baptized. But when they've decided, I usually try to give people 24 hours to think about the study and think about what they're about to do. When they've decided, it's an arms up in the air, the greatest day of their whole life, eternally speaking. And that's why, and I want to encourage us, when somebody gets baptized, some of us have seen a lot of baptisms. And you go, yeah, it's baptism. Wait a second. Do you realize what this person is about to do? Do you realize the decision that they're making? This young man, Alex, who got baptized this past week, you know, he stood up and the place, hey, you know what? There needs to be shouts of joy. We need to applaud. We need to be excited when somebody gets baptized. Because they understand. They've been through these studies. They understand the significance of this decision. They're going from the darkness to the light. It's big. It's huge. Celebrate with them. Encourage them. Even if you're tired. You know? Go ahead and give a little bit. Pat them on the back and let them know. I'm so proud of you for making this decision. It took a lot of courage to do what you did. And we're with you heart and soul. Amen?